Blog Talk Radio.
Not letting me in. James?
Yes, and you were finally on the air.
We
finally got this thing together.
Yay! This is our, thanks for your patience, folks. This is our inaugural run of the show on Blog Talk here. So my favorite Blog Talk host, James Harp, decided to come on the show today at my request to kick off Progressive Interest. Now, the show is going to focus on progressive interest occurring all around the world, innovations happening across all sectors, but it's long overdue that we kick this series off with a five-part series looking at alternative perspectives on the COVID-19, or what I refer to fondly as the COVID, or not so fondly. And it's no better way to get this show started than looking back to the person that got me my start on Blog Talk Radio, my favorite host, James Harp. How are you, sir?
Well, it's great to be on your inaugural show, and very interesting. I was on a show there last week. People wanted to ask my opinions if they mean anything in this day and age, but always glad to be on the air. But we like to bring forth what we uncover and leave it to the listener or the audience out there to decide what's the real truth or what's fake news.
That's great. And tell us a little bit about your show before we get started, because you are the credible perspective on all things conspiracies.
Well, thanks a lot for that intro. I gained a lot of interest a long time ago listening to Art Bell and George Nuri, and they weren't really conspiracy theories. They just talk about aliens, UFOs, suppressed information, and other tidbits of disinformation that a lot of the mainstream media is putting out. And then I was listening to a local radio station here in Toronto on 640, Gary Bell, which dived headfirst into a lot of so-called conspiracies and items that weren't really revealed to the public. So I really got my foot wet. I'd say maybe 10 years ago, I listened to the great Art Bell and followed him by George Neary. And, of course, one of the greatest conspiracy guys, so-called conspiracy guys in Toronto, unfortunately passed away, Gary Bell. So I started to do I've been doing this about maybe, I would say 10 years. I got my start in community television, community radio, such as yourself. And I worked with an internet TV station downtown Toronto that really gave me a free rein of reporting what I thought was interesting news and not follow the mainstream media masses. And from there, I just had a biweekly show every 2 weeks on the Blog Talk Radio system called Cosmic Horizons Radio. And then I bumped it up to every week. And I've been lackadaisical a little bit for the last couple of weeks, but now it's time to come out with more facts. And I just uncovered a lot of the so-called coronavirus cases by a website, worldometers.info. And it's very interesting how many people have recovered this coronavirus and how many cases that they have. Over half have recovered. A million, I'll give you the stats, so far what I got, on effective November the 29th, 62,884,971 worldwide cases, deaths, 1,463,137. But here's the interesting thing. There's been a recovery of 43,433,938. Over half the reported coronavirus cases have recovered, way over half. And I kind of doubt the figures that come out in the mainstream media, such as in Toronto, Canada, such as the States. And I'll tell you what, a lot of words are really pissing me off. In the morning, as soon as I get up, all I heard is the first words out of the reporter's mouth is COVID-19. And they got a new word called super spreader. What the frig is a super spreader? Sounds like I'm toiling fields out in the back 40 with a real shit spreader for manure. So, you know, it gives a whole new meaning to, you know, coronavirus super spreader. As far as I'm concerned, it's a shit spreader.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at communications theory and the idea of the hashtag or the buzzword and its ability to spark reaction, I mean, there's a clear, like you said, a super saturation of information on COVID, the COVID or COVID-19. I won't call it COVID-19 because, again, that's another buzzword in my opinion, and there's too many inconsistencies in the reporting. Like, I just, for me, a global pandemic or a pandemic would have bodies showing up, like that people, if there are a death rate at all, they would be showing up. And another thing that concerns me is the flu is something that, if it's lethal, it would be because you were immunocompromised. Now, symptoms related to the COVID seem banal and benign and mundane. People that, have the sniffles or lung infections. So we're looking at why the massive increase of deaths, why are all the deaths happening in hospital rooms, and exactly how, what can we figure? So I invited you. I should stop now and introduce myself because my introduction was done on mute. Apologies, newcomer here. My name is Anand Emis, and I am a avid innovator and science-based reformer, right? That's part of the freedom of being human. And fear is the only thing to fear in my perspective. So I just thought we could start with, like you said, James, looking at some of the basic conspiracies related to the COVID today. And that would be the first one, the numbers. Where are they coming from and how do we check them? And where, what would make a viral, which viral theory doesn't exist, something that's viral or bacterial related or spreadable, what would make those numbers of deaths increase? And then do we vax or something like that? So that's a lot to unpack, but that's kind of our mission here today. And where do you think we should get started? What do you want to hit first?
Well, I'd like to hit this vaccine program that they're going to roll out. I don't know whether you heard today, but the news up in Canada, they're going to start deploying the army to dish out, all, to distribute the vaccine right here in Canada. And, you know, once the army starts getting involved, you know, you kind of wonder where your rights are going after that. And the whole thing that really gets me is that it hasn't been certified by Health Canada. And, you know, I've also read today also that if you do take the vaccine and you have serious side effects, the pharmaceutical companies are not held liable for this vaccine, probably because they're not held liable, probably because it hasn't passed the Health Canada regulations. And I think we need a vaccine, but I don't know if I want to risk my life in long-term effects, if I want children or if I grow a third head or something like that, all because of this vaccination program that hasn't even been finalized by Health Canada.
Exactly. And I mean, if you look at the activity of the military over the last few months, one third of the military, the lower rankings, were sent home. And then another third of the military was, as you said, trained, like taken to facilities and trained in order to train nurses. So why is our military forcing, like, the let's talk certification of vax too, right? Like, this is all about, like, from a communications and a rhetorical perspective, it's all about conditioning response. If they agree, if they don't react when we corrupt their governor general, what can we get away with? If they don't react when we put them in a mask, what can we get away with? How about consent tracing? Why would we be giving our digits going into a store? If that's going to the health board, great. But when I got my swab, like forcibly given my swab, two swabs earlier this summer, I didn't even get a call back. So as far as trying to unpack the intentions of the scenario, why would I be given a swab and then they have no responsibility to follow up? What's behind that? And then now we're hearing that, oh, the vaccine is the answer. But for me, the big problematic thing there is, like I said, the flu thing, the flu maybe is 60,000 people pass every year because of it, because they're highly immunocompromised. But why am I going to put something in my system that's killed 2 million people? This is, you can't just, like, vax theory holds that you put a little bit in, get your body used to it. So, like, why, first of all, would I put anything in my body that wasn't already there? And second, like, forget the rest of what we're putting in within these vaxes. But why would I do that in a case where something is this lethal? You know, it's way more lethal, like per capita, let's just say, number of cases than the flu would be. So there's a lot of scary questions about this vaccine, and the government's just like, no, we're getting it, and you're going to get a certificate. So it goes from mask compliance to consent tracing compliance to you're not accessing your society unless you can prove you have this vax. And, like, why would our whole approach be stripping away people's rights like this? What have you heard?
Well, I know I did line up to get a COVID-19 test. I did it more like for a curiosity standpoint, which was kind of, I don't know how agreeable that was, but I did line up at a major hospital just north of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, stood in line. I phoned in my appointment at 5:30 p.m. on a Thursday night. I was told to get up there by 6:30 and they could take me. I got up there at 6:30 p.m. I stood in line for, I would say, 45 minutes. Went into this little tent to answer the bull crap questions, the protocol questions, which anybody can lie about that. They took me into a room like a military cot, sat me on, waited 15 minutes, got swabbed. So after I got swabbed, well, how am I going to find out the results of the swab? Oh, we forgot to give you this piece of paper. On the piece of paper was a porthole by the hospital with a password. And you go home, download the app, and then insert your password, and it would tell you the results within one day. So I decided, this can't be true. So I did it, and lo and behold, the next day, my results were there. Not only were my results there, my last 10 years' visit to that hospital was also on that porthole. So I'm thinking, how can they do this? They can hack into my medical files and do whatever. All they need is a password. I could give your password to you, and you could get into my portal and see all of my past health issues, which is absolutely ridiculous, and there they are tracking you again. And just one quick note, talking about tracking you again, have you heard that they've also installed this app on your phone without you knowing to find if you're in contact with a COVID-19 person or not?
No.
Well, there's a hidden code a lot of people don't know about that somehow gets into your phone, and it's not activated until you download the app. The application. The app is already on your phone in the settings. They hid mine, and it's not active till you activate it. And it's supposed to keep you in contact with anybody that's near you that could be a risk to your health, such as a COVID-19 patient. And this app follows you day and night. As soon as you turn on your phone, it's activated. So I don't want surveillance on me, who's who, who's what, and they can find out your traits and more government tracking of people without their awareness.
Yeah, it's without awareness, and it's based on, like I said, it's just based on why would we, why is the vaccination considered such a miracle solution? We've really done no testing, and we have no alternatives. Like, we've got no, group that is, for example, unmasked, untested, unvaxxed to see how COVID essentially spreads there. But the massive clampdown on civil liberties, like, if that was a natural response to a natural disaster, I can't see that would be the logical solution. And then there's the obvious, like, for example, the bank machines. Like, we're still using them all night. Nobody's wiping them down. And how are these things in an objective, scientifically verified and validated way? What have we subjected it to make us know that this is the best for us? Like, do you know anything that's in the vax, and have you heard much about the vax itself?
Well, I heard that most vaccinations contain formaldehyde, thermosol, which is an offshoot of mercury, and different serums from different animals such as cows and chickens and mice. So they derive the molecules or the genes from these animals and insert it into the vaccine. And I don't know if I want to put mercury or formaldehyde into my body, because as far as I know, once you get formaldehyde injected in your body, you might as well be dead.
Yeah, it's certainly going to expedite the aging process, and it's going to stress out your organ systems. That's just based on self-care theory. So what is the running theory? Why? Okay, so is it health-related? we're being talked about never being allowed to leave our regions again. My friend works at Canada Trust. They got walking papers that they are never coming back to work. Literally, it's supposed to go online for them. And then we're not even maybe going to be allowed out in Ontario overnight. And at the same time, none, like the PR is so see-through. None of our big box stores are going to be selling anything but non-essentials.
And that's what gets me, is that they locked down all the big, the mom-and-pop stores, which is essential in mostly every community in Canada and the U.S., but they let the big box stores away with selling who knows what, selling things that they're not supposed to sell. But, hey, they're the big box stores. They're the end-all, according to certain levels of government. And let's not forget that these big box stores also backs politicians with a lot of money. Is he going to cut off their lifeline? I don't think so.
Yeah, and why is it okay for me to grab my salad in a plastic thing, but the guy in the back doesn't even have to wear a mask? The thing is like, ultimately, where does it come to a point where if the military is being mobilized to, like, right now we're at a place where nothing's being regulated and monitored, and it's very much going on the, you know, the terrorism angle. Like, if you don't wear these masks, you're going to harm your neighbor or you're going to die yourself. You know, like the amount of collective stress and half the population, despite the fact that it's psychologically beneficial to socialize, has been sent home. So what about job sharing, other things like that? And why would the liquor stores be open? Like, to me, getting people drunk would be the most dangerous. Why are police still pulling people over? They're obviously riddled with the COVID. So I'm just wondering, like, how do we resist? Is there any room for no thanks, I don't want the vax? Like, the thing is the PR is all very straightforward. And if you just buy into the PR, which has been completely, like, it doesn't have any checks and balances in place, then you're like, well, the vax is the best. The vax is the best, except vax theories is proven, viral theories is proven, asymptomatic transfer theories is proven, and quantum immunology would have it that if you can apply a bunch of chemicals to a virus and eradicate it, well, then you can also apply oppositional frequencies, right? We're in a quantum world. We've proven that. So, like, half the conspiracies I've read are we just never go back and we forget and this thing full of nanostamps that block out your short-term memory and all these different theories, but we're not checking and balancing anything. There's just this top-down agenda-driving mission, and it's just, like, deafening and maddening, and there seems to be no resistance to it.
Well, the number one
thing...
Well, the number one thing that I believe here is you get everybody dependent on the government. Now, right now, everybody's laid off or either laid off or fired because of this virus, and you got to rely on the government for your income, for your check, for your supplements and benefits. And this is all start of, in my opinion, an item called Agenda 21. Now, Agenda 21 is a comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally by organizations of the United Nations system.
Mm-hmm.
And in a nutshell, this Agenda 21, everybody thinks this is a conspiracy tin hat theory, another crazy thing that they bring up, but this calls for governments to take control of land use and not leave any of the decision-making in the hands of private property owners. It is assumed that people are not good stewards of the land and the government will do better if they are in control. Individual rights in general are to be given away to the needs of communities as determined by the governing body. Now, this is the part that scares me in this Agenda 21 agenda. People should be rounded off the land and packed into human settlements or islands or human habitation close to employment centers and transportation. Another program called the Wild Lands Project spells out most of the land to be set aside for non-humans. What the heck is a non-human? Because it seems that you're already getting dependent on government for income, and what better way is to round up the people and get rid of what the Agenda 21 calls useless eaters and depopulate the world?
Oh, exactly. And for me, it's Nazism. Like, the work I've done to trace the roots of this, it's a mass, you can call it population control, you can call it a second dimensional nearby cosmic entity siphoning the human energy. I don't care what you call it, but I'm calling it late for dinner because it undermines the essential reason why humans come to Earth. It undermines the essential upward-facing progression of humanity. And again, like especially in Canada, James, it's just like we are innovative and science-based. Backslide that we've had to do constitutionally in order to watch this thing play out and be laid in, the SARS got laid in. Man, they represent mass deaths. We just had 50,000 people died in Africa this week, places like in Detroit or down in the Navajo Nation. It's just blatant selective annihilation. And like you said, it's the United Nations systems or the WHO. You know, oh, no, trust me, we're doing our verification. And trust me, look, we've got this. And no, we don't trust you. We need to have verified, like neutral scrutiny at some level by an independent body. Or why should we move on it? Especially as Canadians, we owe the world a little more than that. Like, I hate to scare people, but it's...
I think you struck on a key word, selective annihilation, which looks like this whole pandemic is geared for. And this is what I was just talking a little minute ago about Agenda 21. They want to depopulate 95% of the world by 2030. And that's only 10 years away. So it looks like the wheels are in motion. And it seems to me that this virus targets the older people because they seem to be what the governments call a burden on the health system. And minorities. And I don't know, I got to get the stats, how it affects the children under a certain age, but it seems to me most of the deaths are with the elderly targeted, which of course their immune system is down, and selective annihilation. And you hit the nail right on the head when you mentioned that word.
Yeah. And it's the present. They are testing the people that are present in the hospitals. They're testing the people that are willing to get tested and labeled. And then for me, it was an experience of watching people that got two swabs be drained of their life, like instantly. And we're getting all these stories coming out of the elderly community, right? They are a vulnerable population because they're present in the hospitals. Is this an insurgency? And how long has it been going on under the radar at the leadership level of our hospitals? Like you say, governments and regional governments are going to regulate this whole thing as if in Canada we have any reason to listen to these guys, or, you know, or just like if we just fake the votes and fake that it's a two-headed monster and it's not really and all that, people will comply. But it's going to take a little more convincing to get me to comply to a vax or, you know, like living my life in one area or constantly online. And then when we're online, like yeah, sure, like in a quantum reality, me staring into my machine all day creates an energetic bond that we know nothing about. Like how do we start looking at, okay, take the fear factor down and start looking at the individual elements of what is being proposed. Like a 95% population drop is crazy, but they are like the only time we've heard from our government in the last 8 months is they wanted to change the assisted suicide laws. And now we're getting stories that, oh, this senior was taken out because she was scared to live alone. Well, it's basic health principles to get her some social interaction. It's not that people aren't willing. When I was on the Harmony Run, 100% of people, over 40,000 people, I put the torch in the hand of, said, you got a wish for world harmony? Every single one of them did. So, like, you humans can't be trusted with anything. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, and then is there ways that we can vibrate on a higher level? Like, we can't continue to ignore the theories of quantum immunology and things like vibrational medicine, which have had 100% success rate, like self-healing the body, right? Like, let's get a handle on what's going on and find some way to show this some resistance. Because 95% decimation of humanity, like we're just supposed to comply because there is like some threat that we now all share in common that we know nothing about and have just been told about. And, you know, like it's not COVID related, if you ask me, right? The agenda is the mass surveillance. And who are these fear-based, fear-mongered, you know, boom, are they boomers? Can they retire and maybe give us some different approaches as youth or what, you know? There's a lot up in the air, so that's why we're starting this talk.
Well, you know, I get kind of nervous on the stage because once the president issues an executive order, now this executive order could suspend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Executive orders have been on the record for nearly 30 years and could be enacted by the stroke of a presidential pen. Now, you say, well, what's an executive order? Say Biden or the Trumpster happens to issue an executive order before he's out of office. if he announces an executive order, it's called 10990, allows the government to take all modes of transportation and control of highways and seaports. And this is the one that's got to scare what we do. Executive Order 10995 allows the government to seize and control the communications media, as well as executive order allows the government to take over all electrical power, petroleum fuels, and minerals. So, you know, these executive orders overdoes the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So once the president does that, or the Prime Minister in Canada, you know, we're sitting ducks, just getting ready for the barbecue come Christmas time.
That's right. We got to find some way to take off some land for our own purposes, right? Like, they're basing it on, no, this is what we say. Like, it's such a small amount of the population making these decisions. And then if you look on a global scale, sure, this might be issuing from the G20 and the UN and the WHO, which are all crooked installs, as I've said. Whoops. But then on a global level, you've got quote-unquote private, opaque organizations that are not only regulating the standards of things, but also teaching the administration of things. Like, that is such a conflict of interest. So we have lost, this collective of non-entities at this point has lost all, like, logical ability, you know? Like, we're dealing with straight fascism here.
Well, then, you know, we get into what we were just talking about, Agenda 21 and executive orders. When the president does, or the prime minister does, initiate the executive orders, they can round the people up and call them and herd them into these what they call FEMA camps, which are located around the U.S. numerous camps that hold, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 people, as well as Canada. So you start herding the people into these FEMA camps, you know, maybe the ones that don't want to get vaccinated. Your rights are taken away. Your house is taken away. So you got to rely on the government to herd you into these FEMA camps. And these FEMA camps are here today. They're already California, Arkansas, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho,
Kingston,
Illinois. They're all over the states, as well as in Canada. So these things are real.
10 seconds.
All people's got to do is just research for themselves.
Yeah, and these guys in the military, give it up. Like, you don't need it. Thanks, Saul. Thanks, James.